Marketing for a nonprofit isn't about selling. It's about messaging. It's how we stay connected with our donors, our volunteers, and the people we serve. It's how we invite new people to become part of our mission. But sometimes it can feel never ending. There's always another post to write, another story to tell, another update to share. And while I work hard to do all things marketing, there are definitely parts I dread, like creating and scheduling content for social media, or remembering how many times I need to talk about something so people actually hear it. That's where Engie comes in. Engie feels like a marketing partner who really gets me. It helps me figure out what to say, when to say it, and how to engage my audience in a way that feels true to my brand. It even helps me write everything in my voice and puts it all together in one big calendar so I can see how it's all going to play out. I can track what's working, plan what's next, and actually feel confident about my marketing. And I love the extras, like the monthly group coaching calls with experts, the simple social media scheduler, and the AI blog writer that makes creating content so much easier. So if you're ready for marketing to finally make sense, check out the link in the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. One of my favorite tools I use for my business, and one that I think all nonprofits can use, is Flowdesk. They make it so easy to send out mass emails. It takes me just a few minutes, and I can send out as many as I want. Why? Because Flowdesk only uses flat pricing. That means the same fee no matter how many subscribers you have or how many emails you send. Not only that, but they have the most beautiful and easy to use templates to use when creating an email. It's no longer stressful or time consuming. It also has amazing other tools like workflows and checkout for selling products, but that's a whole other podcast episode. In the meantime, go to my show notes for my link and start your free trial to check it out. Want to get half off for a full year? Make sure to use my link. Yes, that's a full year at half off. Go check it out now. You need to participate in active listening. I don't think many people understand what that means, so I'm just going to define it. Active listening means that you are listening without trying to frame your response.
Yes.
You cannot active listen if you are in your head going, okay, she said this, so I'm going to say this back. You have to just sit with it for a second. Welcome to the Nonprofit Nook, the podcast for nonprofit leaders, board members, and community changemakers who want to build stronger, smarter organizations. I'm your host, Wendy Kidd, a longtime business owner and nonprofit leader, and I'm here to bring you real talk, real tools, and real stories to help you thrive in the nonprofit world. I'll be talking with local nonprofit leaders, community changemakers, and experts in everything from board development to fundraising and digital tools, sharing real stories and simple strategies you can actually use. Because running a nonprofit is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's get started. Today's guest is Kendria Taylor, a powerhouse in learning and development with over 20 years of experience spanning education, corporate, and nonprofit sectors. Known for her high energy, out-of-the-box facilitation style, Kendria delivers training sessions that keep people laughing, learning, and fully engaged. Yes, even in the dreaded post-lunch slump. As the founder of TG8 Solutions Insight, she specializes in developing talent, strengthening communication, and helping organizations navigate conflict with creativity and confidence. Her impressive career includes leadership roles from VP to interim CEO, credentials in mediation and DEI, and a client list featuring names like Lockheed Martin, Texas Instruments, and the City of Denton. Kendria's mission? Equipping organizations with the tools they need to innovate, engage, and thrive. Welcome, Miss Kendria.
Thank you so much. That was so excellent. I love it.
I got to make you sound good, girl, because yes. You are amazing. I just so everybody knows, I met Kendria in my Goldman Sachs class, and she just impressed the heck out of me. She was actually the first person I met in the parking lot.
Do you remember? During our interviews, actually.
During our interviews, yes. And I looked you up then, loved everything you were about. And you were one of the first people I thought of when I came up with this podcast because I was like, oh, she can teach us so much. But not only that, guys, I want you to think of Kendria as a resource because that's what she does for a living. She is absolutely somebody you can reach out to and bring into your organization and help you with the things that we're going to talk about. So
Let's start with your story, Kendria, because what we wanted to talk about was feedback. And I want to know, why is feedback such an important topic for you personally?
First of all, I love, love, love talking about feedback. But before I answer that question, let me ask you a question. And you don't have to give me an answer, but I want you to think about it. Who was the first person that gave you feedback? Where did that feedback come from? Where were you at when you got the feedback? Right? How did that feedback make you feel?
Oh, not good.
Right? So you've already attached, when you think about the very first time you got feedback, you've already attached a feeling of, and it probably makes you anxious now just thinking about it. So we're in the workplace and we're trying to push and drive and even pull people towards the mission, right? And so people are carrying these things, I like to call my training classes, in their imaginary backpacks. We don't know what people are bringing to work, right?
Yeah.
So I will tell you, my very first piece of feedback that I carry with me everywhere came from my mother. And if people think about it, it probably came from a parent or a sibling, a little league coach, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that feedback was enough for you to really think about it. And so this is funny to most people. I said this in a class last week. And some guy just spit out his water when I said it. And I was like, I'm still in therapy for this. So anyway, so the very first piece of feedback that I got was from my mom. Now, here's the deal. I have 8 other siblings. And so my mom is quick and in a hurry with the feedback and everything. And I would
ask
the question.
Time. With that many kids,
no
she ain't
time,
got time.
Yeah. Right? And so she's like, I was like, Mom, I'm thinking about these classes and I'm just not really sure. And she's like, look, you can't be ugly and stupid. So go ahead and take the AP classes. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
I love it.
Well, you can't change ugly, I guess. So I better take these AP classes. Another thing she would say is, well, look, you can't be dumb and lazy at the same time. So you really need to go clean your room, make your bed, and at least look halfway presentable.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, yeah, fair.
So when you say lazy and dumb, when I got into management, if you weren't moving at the speed of Kendria, oh, they're lazy. Get rid of them. They're lazy.
Mm.
And they're ugly. Get rid of them. That was my thing. And I had to really grow out of that because my mom didn't mean, hey, you're really ugly. But she really wanted us to do better at other things. But the feedback and the delivery was horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And my father was first to give me feedback. And he was a very critical person. He was a very angry person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to dread feedback. And I just noticed as we were talking, like I was hunching over as if I was preparing for it yet again. You guys are going to have to watch this on the YouTube channel to know that.
Yeah.
But I gotta stand back up and relax because that's not about to happen right now. So it's fine. It's
so
fine.
If your listeners think about the first time they got feedback, I want you to think about what feeling do you attach to that. And we're going to share some tools and tips today to kind of help you get over that.
Yeah, yeah. When we talked about this podcast, something you said that really stuck with me was feedback can either help you keep top talent or drive them away.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share how you've seen that kind of play out? I know I've seen it play out.
Absolutely. Well, number one, most organizations don't have a feedback culture.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they're giving feedback, I mean, they're just throwing everything against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, yeah, well, you didn't do this right. Okay, well, give me more, right?
Right.
And so I have a short thing for that. If it's not BS, then it's BS, right? If mm-hmm. you're not being specific, then it's BS.
Yep.
So be specific with people. And the way you drive talent away is you don't tell them, number one, they're doing a good job, so you're not reinforcing, but you're also not redirecting, saying, hey, this was really good, but I would have loved for you to add this on. But more importantly, which is my favorite feedback, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, they're not, what's the main thing that you hear people say? People don't have any critical thinking skills.
Right.
Reflective feedback can help with that.
Yeah.
They're not reflecting. Okay, well, tell me how you think that went. Tell me how you think that project went. You don't get a chance to listen to the logic behind why they did what they did. So people are like, my boss really hates me or they don't like me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. All I get is, okay, good job. Okay, good job. What? Or all I get is, well, I wish you would have done that. Okay, well, tell me how to do that. Like, tell me your vision. What do you want?
Right.
So I think it can really drive talent away because people need to be communicated to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you statistics all day long about how not communicating and miscommunicating can hinder projects, can hinder the outcomes. It can create conflict, right?
We all know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you're living in this life cycle of all of these things that when you could have just gave this person some feedback, just a great job, here's what I think you did amazing, can carry people's morale for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're not doing that.
Well, and I'm going to say this. I know this wasn't specifically something we want to get into today because we could talk about this all day long, but it's also generational, right?
Absolutely.
It's part of that imaginary backpack you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And something I learned as a boss is, as a Gen Xer myself,
mm-hmm.
I am thinking, if I don't get feedback, I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my automatic assumption is. But for my millennials, they assumed when I was not giving them feedback, they were doing a horrible job.
Right.
And so we just could not understand until we had that conversation. And I said to them, if I'm not coming at you, that means you're doing a great job. But I will also learn to do better at telling you are doing a great job and why it's what the result of that is and why I appreciate it so that we are better at communicating. So
they need the reinforcement.
They got to think right? about that. Everybody thinks about this differently. Remember that imaginary backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you said there are four types of feedback, and I loved this because I'd never heard this before until our conversation. So tell me what those are. Tell me a little bit about more about them.
So we are talking about all of them except for one. So I'm going to bring impact feedback back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that generational, right? So if you're not reinforcing someone.
So reinforcing is the first type.
Reinforcing is the first type. And that is your, hey, great job, right? When you said to your people, if I'm not coming at you, you're doing a great job, which means you're only coming at me when I'm not doing such a great job, when I need
yep.
to be redirected.
That led to some other issues.
And
yes.
so as Gen Xers, we're like, you know, if leave me alone if I'm doing a great job. But people need to hear that reinforcement. So
yes.
that's the first type of feedback. Just reinforce that I'm doing a great job. Why is that important? Because I will keep doing it.
Yes.
It will continue to build my morale. It will also build trust and credibility with the leader because I'm going to trust that you're going to tell me when I'm doing a good job.
Yes.
Also, when you redirect me, here's what I love about redirection.
That's our second type of feedback.
That's the second type of feedback. What I love about redirection is it's just like driving a car. If you're giving little redirectives, you know, consistently, then we're going to hit the mission. All I'm doing is just redirecting you. So what that looks like is, hey, I loved what you did here. Do you mind if I give you some feedback? Number one, asking someone if they mind giving you feedback, 10 times out of 10, they're going to say, oh, no, I don't mind. Right? So now you've already opened the door for feedback.
Yes.
So let me just give you a redirection on this. Here's what I would like to see. How do you think that we can implement that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting their buy-in. But they start to trust you and there's credibility built on both ends because they trust that you're going to come to them and tell them when I need to be redirected.
Right.
The third type of feedback is impact feedback. Impact feedback. How are you impacting the others around you?
Mm-hmm.
When you turn your projects in late, this impacts everybody on the team, and here's why. So a lot of us and a lot of millennials and just, you know, generationally, people like to be individual contributors, right?
Yes.
Right now, there's an issue with people wanting to be leaders. All of the organizations that I work with say, nobody wants to be a leader. How can we get people to be leaders? Number one, you're lacking a feedback loop. Number two, people are individual contributors, right? So when they don't think about their teammates, they're like, well, I'm doing my thing. If I don't turn it in on time, no. Mm-hmm. How does this affect the overall picture? So you have to ask questions that allow them to think about how are you impacting the end result, your end user, or the impact to your team. The one I love, which is the fourth type, is reflective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. Reflective feedback is always the way to go because reflective feedback opens up the door for the other types of feedback.
Okay.
If I say, let's have a feedback, you know, conversation about this project. First, tell me how you think it went on a scale from 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may say a 7, and you may be thinking it was a 3 in my opinion, right? Right. You don't have to say that.
Right.
But you may be thinking it's 3 in my opinion. But all you can say is, all you have to say is, okay, a 7. Tell me why a 7. How can we get you to a 10? They tell you, that gives you the opportunity to listen to what they think they could have done better. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the opportunity to layer in what they could have done better, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so there's 4 types of reflective feedback, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So reflective feedback has 4 different questions, which is going to be a little thing that your listeners get at the end.
Right, right. So in each type, there's a different purpose for each type of feedback. How does each of those develop people? How does it help you develop your team? Which one of these does what for people?
So, again, I'll start with reinforced. Reinforced feedback just allows you to help build morale in your team, build confidence,
yeah,
right? When you build confidence, you also build an inclusive culture. And I say this because people aren't scared to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't scared to say, I did this really well, but you know what? I could have done this better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you start to build this psychological safety that people can say, you know what? This person's always really great at giving me feedback. So that builds confidence, and it's a morale booster. And it can sustain you when change is happening, when things are going on that's not so good in the organization, right?
Right.
At least I'm clear on what I need to do. And clarity is something that everyone needs when change is happening, transition's happening, and things are uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
The redirective feedback, honestly, when you tell someone that, hey, redirect, I'm giving you some redirection. Why? Because I don't want to compromise the integrity of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to compromise the integrity of the work that you're doing. To me, I'm gonna build trust with that person.
Right.
Because they want me to be better. And when you deliver it like that, and delivery is important, right? So when you deliver it like that, then I understand they don't want me to compromise my work, and me either. The impact feedback, like I said, why is that important? Because it's not just you there. And you need to understand that you are part of an ecosystem at work that can also compromise the integrity of the work,
yeah,
can also hurt morale or confidence if you are not thinking about the team as a whole, right? Especially if you're looking to be in leadership or you are a leader. And then reflective feedback, to me, it's just solid in your face. Tell me what you did. What do you think? But it allows the person receiving the feedback to critically think about what I did, what I can do better. How can you support me in that?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm giving you reflective feedback, one of the things that I'm also letting you know is I'm supporting you. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How can I support you in that?
Yeah.
Right? So it shows the support from your leaders and the people around you. And reflective feedback you can ask yourself,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Reflective feedback you can ask your peers. It creates this 360 loop of ongoing feedback, which
right,
is why I love it. It's my favorite.
Well, and I like the approach of it. I'm sitting here thinking about all the times that I've asked the team for feedback, but I didn't take this. I didn't say the specific things that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, well, what do you think? How do you think it went? Give me your feedback. I just kind of actually cut through the rating of it,
mm-hmm,
and went straight to the feedback, and I should have paused and said, how successful do you think it was?
Right.
Right. Give me that scale.
And
sometimes
when you ask people, how successful do you think it was? Great. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's very different for you, but on a scale from 1 to 10, then you can kind of, now we can level set.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it's very interesting. So many leaders think they're giving feedback. Like I said, I thought that I was doing that well, but, you know, we all make mistakes. So what are some of the common mistakes you see leaders give when they're giving feedback?
Oh, my goodness. So the delivery of the feedback, right? The mm-hmm. delivery of the feedback and just the tone of voice and the way you're delivering the feedback.
Yeah.
Rushing of the feedback, not being specific. We talked about my story, right? One of my stories is I thought I was doing an amazing job, and I feel like I was. And me and my boss at that point weren't necessarily getting along over some other things. And she gave me my review. My review had someone else's name on it. It has someone else's score on it. And it was like, she didn't even take the time to change everything.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, I'm like, I'm not signing that. And so now I'm looking shocked. I'm getting angry. I'm getting resistant.
Yeah.
So that's a long way to getting to acceptance of what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just so sometimes that we rush the feedback, but the biggest mistake that I see is that they're not treating feedback seriously. It's just something I'm checking off. You have a review at the end of the year. But I tell people all the time, leaders, if you're walking down the hall and you see someone that's doing a great job, stop. Stop them and say, you know what? Let me tell you what I loved about what you just delivered in that conference room, right? But also stop them in the hall and ask the question, hey, do you mind if I give you some feedback about what you just delivered in the conference room?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might shock someone initially because you're stopping them on the way to the restroom, right?
Right.
And they're like, yeah. They're not going to tell you no. I promise you they're not ever going to tell you no because you asked politely, may I give you some feedback?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say yes because they're so shocked they don't know what to do.
Right.
And the first thing you're going to say is, I loved how you delivered this piece. How do you think you did on the others? And I'd love to have a conversation later on some things that we could layer in to make it better next time.
Right.
To make it even better next time, right? People are going to invite that opportunity and say, you know what? My boss just stopped me down the hallway and told me she has some tips on what I could do better. It's all in the delivery, but it has to be ongoing. I don't want to talk to you when it is time for feedback and we haven't had any feedback leading up to this.
Right.
You haven't given me the opportunity to change or enhance or, you know, or even think about what my logic was behind that.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest mistake people make is not doing it as often as they should.
Right. Right. No. And that ties into what I wanted to ask you about next, because when we talked, you talked about creating a culture of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, that's the term I've been looking for all my life. Because one of the things that I see a lot of leaders do wrong is they don't do any feedback until it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a surprise. It always feels like an ambush. And creating a culture where we're constantly feeling like we can give feedback, we know how to give feedback, we're empowered, that sounds amazing. So how do we do that? That's what I know all my listeners are probably going to ask me is like, okay, this sounds great, but how do we do it?
So I think it's really simple. One of the things, again, I'll go back to what leaders don't do often is don't ask for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that I'm giving someone feedback, and I managed, before I started my company, I managed 10 teams all throughout Texas. 10 teams.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of teams. But I did it because every year I felt like the CEO gave me another team. Anytime there was a team that was in trouble, it's like, oh, give it to Kendria, right?
Well, of course, because you're good at this.
Well, and I was never really going to fire anybody unless it was absolutely necessary because I was always constantly giving feedback. But one of the things that I would always do with my people is, because I get busy, you get busy. We had a feedback session. It didn't happen. That's why I think we have to continuously create a culture of it. One of the things I always did was, all right, we're here. Give me some feedback. Tell me what you thought about my performance, right? But how we create a culture is just use a model, use a framework. I think that's what most people are so scared of.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many frameworks out there that we can utilize for coaching and or whatever. One of the models that I use, so here is definitely something that you can do as soon as you listen to this podcast. You got someone you want to give some feedback to, this will be perfect. And it absolutely allows you to use reflective feedback. It's called the GOOD model. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not heard of it.
Okay, so the GOOD model is, for the G is for goals. What are your goals? So let's talk about it. Okay, I'm going to ask some reflective questions throughout that to even tighten up your goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where are some areas of opportunities, right? That's your first O.
Okay.
What are some areas of opportunities you think you have? And then I'm going to tell you some opportunities that I believe you have, some areas of opportunities to improve, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I'm going to do is tell you the second O is the obstacles. So what are some obstacles you think have been created? Were there any obstacles for you to complete this project or task or whatever? Did I give you any obstacles? Was I an obstacle as the leader? Is there a system in place
yes.
that has created some additional obstacles for you? Now we're having a conversation and it doesn't feel like feedback, right?
Yeah.
The D is for decisions, right? Now we have all this on the table. Give me some decisions you're going to make this week. Because I can get ahead of any idiotic thing that you might think that you want to do, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
you can say, okay, well, tell me why you're going to make that decision.
Yeah.
All right. So what, do you mind if I give you some feedback on that?
Love it. It just keeps going in circles.
It just keeps going in circles. And then you're going to get it tight. So the good model goals, opportunities, obstacles, decisions. And someone might tell you, you know, I'm really thinking about going to another department. Let's talk about this. Why? You're one of my best employees. Oh, really? I didn't know that because I don't get any feedback about that.
Right. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think every leader in nonprofit right now can use the good model every day, all the time. And you don't have to use it in order. You don't have to use it formally. Right.
Right.
Let's start with informal feedback.
Yes.
Catch me down the hallway. Catch me in the break room. If I come to your office, I'm like, okay, what is this about? But if you stop in the kitchen while I'm, you know, while I'm getting my second cup of coffee and you're like, really like what you did, would love to talk about some additional feedback on what we can do to enhance that.
Oh, and I like that word, enhance it. Not do better, but enhance. Because when you say do better, it implies you did bad.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. How can we enhance that?
Yeah. How, and this was not a question I gave you already, so I apologize, but how can we give a leader who has not asked for feedback so that we can preserve our relationship working with that leader?
Oh, that's a really good question. So how can you give a leader who hasn't asked for feedback, mm-hmm. who hasn't gotten feedback?
Right. Who has not obviously listened to this podcast and listened to you and taken one of your trainings, and you see that they could use some feedback, mm-hmm. whether that be good or bad, how do you approach a leader? Because, you know, we're all nervous about approaching our bosses. How do we do that?
So what I would do mm-hmm. is I would go and ask that leader for some feedback myself.
Oh, right? Good way to start that conversation. Yeah.
I would mm-hmm. ask for some feedback myself. And then I would say, you know, I would also like to give some feedback on this. I mean, how many times do we give leaders feedback, even good feedback?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? They've made this small little incremental decision, and it's like, oh, that was really great. But no one ever says that.
Well, and I will say, as a boss, I appreciated it. There was one moment, and this is the one I wish I remembered when you asked that question.
Okay.
I had an employee who actually emailed me after I had done all the team reviews that year.
Mm-hmm.
She emailed me and said, I realized nobody gave you a review, and I just wanted to say that you're doing such a great job. And I cried. I broke down. That just hit me so hard. I felt so blessed in that moment.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to give me good feedback, and she didn't see a way to do it. So I learned to do that, give them more opportunities to do that. But for her to reach out to me,
mm-hmm.
just it really brought us closer together, honestly, because it gave me the ability to trust her and know that she trusted me and that we could talk through anything.
Absolutely.
So,
And the good model works with the leader. What if someone came to you as a leader and said, are there any areas of opportunity that there's out there that I can help you?
Yeah.
And the leader might be like, not that I know of. Well, mm-hmm. I have one.
Mm-hmm. I thought of one for you.
I thought of one that I could really help with. And, well, why do you think I need that help? Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I know you need the help. I'm coming to you with this opportunity. Well, I don't know if you're utilizing your entire staff in a way that we can support you better.
That's a good one.
Well, let's have a conversation about it,
right?
That's
a really good one, yeah.
Because we all have areas of opportunity. I hate to say weaknesses, but we all have areas of opportunity.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
So the good model works both ways.
I love the good model. I'm totally going to write that down and use that moving forward. So for leaders who are nervous about giving feedback, because I know so many people in nonprofits, they came into this because they have a passion for it, not because they came in this to manage people, mm-hmm. right? So, and we all manage people, whether it be staff or volunteers in the nonprofit sector, especially we manage volunteers a lot. What can we do? What's some mindset shifts or some strategies that we can recommend so that they can worry about it less?
So here is what's critically important. Everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in the world, but there's only a few types of personalities, right? Mm-hmm. People fit into those personalities. So the one thing that I would tell your listeners to do is just kind of observe your people. Are they direct? Give them direct feedback.
Yes. Right? Those of us who are direct, I'm speaking for myself, need direct feedback.
If they are very task-oriented, you know, they need to understand the specifics, right?
Yes, they need examples.
If they're very analytical, you better come to them with data, mm-hmm. right? Because otherwise they're going to be like, okay, that was great. You can go to my office now. They need data.
True.
And if you have someone, I call these like your energizer people. I do this, I have this assessment, this communication assessment that I do, and I call these people squiggly lines.
I love the reference.
These are the people you want to catch down the hallway first because they're going to be sitting in your office like, okay, mm-hmm. what do you got to tell me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to go one ear and out the other. It's got to be delivered with some type of energy. Because people want to be talked to the way that they want to be talked to, the way they want to be communicated with. I can't communicate with what I call an exclamation mark. I can't say, okay, hey, come to my office at 3:00. Because if it's 1:00, they are sweating bullets.
Yes.
Right?
I definitely have had some of those.
You don't want to talk to them like mm-mm. that. You want to make sure that you understand what are the personalities, what are the communication styles of my people. We all communicate differently. Right. So yeah. I think if you're and then you have to think about what's your style. If you avoid conflict, if you're the emotional exclamation mark and you've got to give a direct person some feedback, you're already thinking about what they're going to come back and say back to you.
Yeah.
And you're all going to be thinking about, I can't go up against them. They are completely direct. I don't even know how I would approach that situation. Well, you come to them directly. You come to them with the facts of the matter, and you're with your emotional, wonderful self, you leave the emotions out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first thing is to really sit and think about who you are delivering feedback to.
Right.
Right? And then if all else fails, go right to your reflective feedback. Make it a conversation. Skip all the rest of it. Go right to your reflective feedback. And start with the, may I give you some feedback? And I would love for you to give me some feedback as well.
I mean, that's what it should be. It should be a conversation.
It should be a conversation.
You need to participate in active listening. I don't think many people understand what that means, so I'm just going to define it. Active listening means that you are listening without trying to frame your response.
Yes.
You cannot active listen if you are in your head going, okay, she said this, so I'm going to say this back. You have to just sit with it for a second.
I love that. I do this activity where I put two people together mm-hmm. and they're giving feedback, and I stand two people behind them, and those people are talking in their ears, right?
Ooh, I love that.
And it's
that.
Just like they're turning around like, what? No, keep talking. He's like, no, because that is what we're thinking about,
yes.
right? So
yes.
Empathetic listening is, I tell people all the time, you can't be empathetic because empathy, the definition, right, that people most use is stepping into someone else's shoes, right?
Right, right.
Well, here's the deal. You can't step into anyone else's shoes unless you have taken your shoes off first. What that means is you got to take off that backpack for the moment. All of your fears about how the way you receive feedback and everything that you've done in your past and your experience and even your thoughts and judgments about this person and what they might say, it's got to all go away. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. But if you're going to empathetically listen, you have got to just listen.
Yeah.
No questions, no nothing. Reflection. An empathetic listener is always going to be reflective. What I'm hearing you say is this.
Yes.
And when you keep doing that, you're like, I'm really hearing them say that. I really get it now. I'm not asking questions, nothing. So empathetically listening is really critically important. So thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
But just really reflective. If I can leave your listeners with anything, learn to be more reflective in delivering and receiving feedback.
Yes. Yes. Right? Wholeheartedly, 100%. That's what they should take from this.
If you are scared or just nervous, do some reflective feedback on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How am I stepping into this feedback session?
Mm-hmm.
What should I expect from this feedback session? Right? Be reflective with yourself. It gets easier. I use it all the time.
It's like a muscle. The more you work it out, the better you're good with it. It's stronger and stronger. So, yes.
I disarm so many people. And so I'm teaching a class on the reflective mediator next month. Mm. I disarm so many people by simply sitting back and saying, tell me more about that. How'd you feel about that?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you? On a scale from 1 to 10. And then walls are just breaking down.
Love it. So. Love it. And this is why you're a mediator. So, yes, if you have conflict in your organization, you can call Kendria. Just putting it out there for you.
I appreciate that.
Okay, before we wrap up today, I know that you prepared a little something-something for our listeners. You want to talk about that?
So, actually, two things. So, if your listeners go to my website, remember I talked about the different communication styles?
Yes.
They can go to my website. And the communication styles will pop up. The communication assessment will pop up for them. They can take it for free.
Awesome.
This is something that I charge organizations $75 for, right, per person. So you'll know what type of personality is this person. It's going to give you their value system, how they work under pressure, all of these things. So that's the first thing that you can do.
Okay, tell them your website.
www.tg8solutions.com.
And we will have that in the show notes, but just for those who are listening while driving, if they want to look it up as soon as they get stopped, there it
is. Absolutely, and it'll pop right up for you.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have prepared that once they do that, I will send them the four different types of reflective questions. Because there's four different categories they can use. We talked about the scaling 1 to 10, right? But there's also observer perspective questions. There's also miracle questions. Miracle questions help people think about future.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if I had this tool, what could I be doing? That's a miracle question. Future-oriented questions. So I'm going to send them the four different types, give them some examples, and then they can take those and utilize that as I have this first feedback session. I'm going to go through these reflective types and ask what I need to get from this person.
Yeah.
So.
I love this. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to go get these little freebies. I don't know about you, but you need to go get them. Check out the show notes. I will have all the links. And Ms. Kendria, thank you. This was so much fun. And I hope that everyone finds it as useful as I did, because this is something I could talk about all day long, because I think it builds stronger organizations, period.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I have fun, too. I'm sure I probably nerded out a little bit, but I love this.
We welcome nerding on this podcast.
Good, okay.
It's great. It's great. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much. That was the Nonprofit Nook. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Nook. We're building better nonprofits together. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other nonprofit leaders who need support. Follow the Nonprofit Nook on social media and sign up for our email list for extra tips and updates. You can also visit thenonprofitnook.com to see the show notes and leave a comment telling me what topics you want next. Your feedback shapes the show. See you next time.